notes or verses you would like to take with you, I pray that you just get this. You're here. I know it's a priority to you. Just want to encourage you to try to get this truth down in your heart, your spirit, in your mind. Write it down. Want to continue on a topic I started last week on prayer. Maybe go another week or two. But we'll use the model Jesus gave us here in Matthew chapter 6 in just a moment. Matthew 6. We won't look up every verse. I'll give you a couple and we can just put them on the screen. So that way, if you want to write those down, you can have it for future reference and meditate on it. That's, you know, when we hear the word of God, Jesus said the word is a seed. So when we hear it, we talk about it, we discuss it, we dwell on it, we sing it, pray it. It's watering that seed. Our job is to plant and water, our responsibility, and then God gives the increase and bears that fruit in our heart and in our lives, ultimately for his glory. So Matthew 6, I'll join you there in just a moment. Let me read two verses. We read these last week from the book of Luke. If you want to write them down again, just follow along on the screen. Luke chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. And the Bible says this, that Jesus healed someone. He told him, don't really make a big show of it, because not that he didn't want people to testify about him. He did. He wanted him to go back to the priests and testify. But he knew that if the word spread about him in a certain way, people would just, it could almost be, in fact, the scripture says in one time, they were going to come and force him to be a king. They were looking for a political leader. And Jesus, he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but that's not why he was here at the time. So the Bible says that, in verse 15, however, the report went around concerning him all the more, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. And then verse 16, so Jesus himself, notice, often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. Jesus made time with his Father a top priority in his life. How many of you can relate to you've had the pressure of maybe someone else's expectations on you? Maybe you've kind of sensed the pressure of someone else. You felt like they had demands on you, and they weren't necessarily yours, but you kind of sensed it from, see, Jesus knew that. But even with the pressure that of demands and expectations that others would have placed on him, the Bible says he often withdrew to prayer. But why? Why did Jesus make prayer a top priority in his life? And as I began to think about that recently, I began to think about Adam. And so as I began to think about it, I was like, well, you know, Adam prayed. God had a, you know, prayer, had a relationship with Adam. And so I said, it wasn't just because of sin. Now, when sin entered, it wasn't just Adam and Eve's relationship. The relationship of the entire human race, the human family, was severed from God, because God is holy and sin separates us from him. And so it not only separates us from it, it sentenced us to death, spiritual death, which is separation from God forever, banished from his presence. And the reason we die physically is because of spiritual death. But I love how the New Testament calls Jesus the last Adam. And what the first Adam lost, the second Adam won. When Jesus suffered and died on the cross, he bore the judgment and wrath of God against our sin. Then he conquered death when he rose again from the grave. And through his death and resurrection, he regained potentially everything that Adam lost. And now that relationship can be restored, and we can be brought back into not only relationship, but favor and righteousness with God. Just a quick review of last week, but I really want to center on today of what is the purpose of prayer. What is the purpose of prayer? If we don't know the purpose of prayer, we may not pray effectively. It's good to know what the purpose is so we can pray effectively, and it's good to know the purpose of prayer so that we will not be disillusioned by misguided expectations. See, if I think prayer should be this or the purpose of prayer is that, and then if my prayer is not answered, I can think, well, that was a waste of time. that was a waste of effort, and please, you don't need to raise your hands. But can you relate to looking back and saying, well, my prayers were wasted? I want to assure you they were not and they are not, but many of us can relate. So it's important to know what is the purpose of prayer. So just a real quick review. Last week, I shared that prayer is a privilege. Thank God we can pray. Thank God for the privilege of prayer. And then we define prayer as, because it's easy and it's nothing wrong with saying prayer is talking to God. That is true. But the Bible says we're to pray without ceasing. Never stop praying. So that means I would never stop talking. And that's not the case. So prayer is both communion, just enjoying being close and being with someone, and conversation. So prayer is a privilege. Would you say that with me? Prayer is a privilege. And then so prayer is communion and conversation with our Father. And then we looked at this guide Jesus gave us of what we call the Lord's Prayer. We don't have to pray it word for word. It's okay, but it's a guide for us in prayer. And we said we got to keep prayer. To keep it effective, we want to keep it relational, reverential, and real. Relational. Prayer flows out of knowing God as our Father. Please, please hear me on this. It is not knowing about God. We have people, I would say all over the world, who know something about God. It may not even be close to correct, but they have thoughts about God. It's not knowing about God. Jesus said, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you've sent. That's John 17:3. So eternal life isn't knowing about God. It's knowing God as Father, knowing Jesus as Lord, and being indwelt by his Holy Spirit. It's knowing God, not just knowing about him. So keep prayer relational, then keep prayer reverential. That means he says, hallowed, holy is your name. It's like he sets the pattern of relationship and then worship. When we worship, it reminds us of who God is and his rightful place in our lives. He's not just, you know, somebody out off there and somebody, yeah, I think about him on Sunday mornings. No. His rightful place is in the center of our lives, and we revolve our lives around him as Lord. So it's relational, it's reverential, and then it's real. In that passage in Matthew 6, Jesus said, don't be like the hypocrites. Don't put on some religious show when you pray. Just keep it real. He said, don't be like those who don't even know God. They think they're going to be heard for their long prayers. Your Father knows what you need. Just be real with him. So keep prayer relational, reverential, and real. And then today, what is the purpose of prayer? I really want to center, I believe there's one overall purpose. And we could correctly say this morning, if I said, hey, what would you say is the purpose of prayer? And Kim may give me something that's a purpose of prayer, and it could be 100% accurate. And Ron may tell me, and Lynn and others, you could tell me something is 100% correct. But this one that Jesus gives us here is like an overriding theme. It's like the main purpose, and then there are many applications. So I want to just mention two this morning, and this is just so strong in my heart. I pray that you will just take it in, and let's live it out. Not only this one purpose, which I'll mention second, I'm just going to mention two, but this first one flows out of it, and here it is. The purpose of prayer is to grow closer to God. The purpose of prayer, I'm saying just one because, again, I know I'm using 2 points here. I should say, what are the purposes of prayer? But I really want to keep it centered on one theme. But prayer is to draw us closer to God so that we grow closer to God. And if you're there in Matthew 6, I want to read verse 6. This is Jesus speaking. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 6 says, but you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you've shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. This is being real between you and God. I think, do we have the Passion Translation up there as well? If we'll put that, I want to just show you this in the Passion, same verse. Some translations are word for word. Some translations are thought for thought. The idea of this particular translation is meaning for meaning. So would you just look and follow along on the screen? Jesus says, but whenever you pray, go into your, and I like how this is worded, your innermost chamber. Does the word chamber, innermost chamber, remind you of anything in your, okay, Brother Rick, if I can finish the sentence. You got it. It reminds of a heart, your innermost chamber. I thought, man, that pictures the heart. That's really what it's about. So he says, but whenever you pray, go into your innermost chamber and be alone with Father God. Pray into him in secret, and your Father who sees all you do will reward you openly. See, God rewards prayer when it comes from close. He rewards us. Let me reword that. God rewards us. He said, your Father will reward you. God rewards us for prayer that flows out of close fellowship with him. God rewards us for prayer that comes from our heart, the innermost chamber. And, you know, the example of Jesus, he separated himself. He made that time. I remember even, you know, sometimes people just crowded and busy and everything going on. But, you know, you can set aside a time somewhere for to meet with the Lord. It's so important. Godly people through the ages have made prayer a priority. And it's still a priority to everyone today who has a close and growing fellowship and close and growing walk with the Lord. Grow closer to God. Would you say that with me? Grow closer to God. I remember learning from Dr. Edwin Lewis Cole years ago, when we pray, we grow closer to the one we pray to. We grow closer to the ones we pray with. And we grow closer to the ones we pray for. I really believe that's one reason Jesus told us to pray for our enemies. Because if we will do that, it can actually give us a heart of compassion for someone else. Might be angry and upset, but we pray for them in faith because we do it for the Lord. Closer to the Lord, closer to those, there's power in agreement, and then closer to the ones we pray for. I remember a youth pastor years ago, and this has stood with me over the years. He said, we make time for the things we really want to do. I think everyone's busy. Some of you may be in a season of your life where maybe you retired from work. You still stay active and so forth. Thank God for that. But I mentioned earlier in the service, there's so many distractions. There's nothing wrong with watching a ball game. But if I have time to watch a ball game, I can make some time for God in prayer. Amen. Nothing wrong with good entertainment, wholesome entertainment. People stream sitcoms, this movie, that's, you know, whatever. That can be fine. Entertainment can have its place. But if I have time for entertainment, I can make some time to be with God in prayer. We've come into a generation, and the psalmist said, I muse on your works. If you'll allow me to make a little play of words here, I know that means meditate in the Hebrew, but I muse. I give some thought. I give time and effort to God in his ways. If I said, if you never were familiar with this term before, over the last year, everyone in here has heard of the term asymptomatic, right? It means someone who they have a condition, but they're not showing the symptoms. It's the exact opposite of having the symptoms, right? So check this out. If the psalmist said, I muse, put an A in front of it. Okay. Amuse. And many times we allow amusement to keep us from musing. And we don't make time for God, and we don't make time for his word or to give him our attention. I'm just simply saying we got time for all, you know, how many likes I have and all of the keeping up with the news. That all has its place. Do you understand? I'm not saying any of it's wrong. I'm simply saying if we have time for a little bit of something along that line, let's make some time for God too. And this, so I've learned this over the years. It's not just making time to say, all right, here's what I want you to do, God. Here's my list. I'm on my way and forget God. You know, I don't really think about him the rest of the day. I've done that for you. I did my religious duty, but it didn't draw me closer to God. And there's something I've learned about just making some time. Maybe your schedule is so booked up and you only have one day a week off And I would just encourage you, take some time on that one day and make a little special time and be with God. Devote yourself and just say, Lord, I'm here for you. I just want to enjoy being with you right now. I'm going to give you thanks and I'm going to give you worship. And yes, I'm going to lay my request before you. But right now, it's not about me. It's about you. Do you know we can enjoy being with God that way? And if we enjoy being with him, no one has to twist our arm to pray. We'll know, we'll miss it. We'll miss that fellowship. And I've learned that when we have that time set apart for God, brothers and sisters, it strengthens us. This isn't just for God. He wants us to be with him, but we need to be with him. It strengthens us. Don't we need God's strength in this day in which we live? It heals us. We can go on about our religious journey until the day we meet the Lord face to face and be forgiven of all sin and declared righteous by the blood of Jesus, but be broken and so just unwell, diseased on the inside in our soul and mind and heart. God doesn't want us to live that way, but we've got to make an appointment with the great physician and have him heal us. That's why I said we've got to be real. We can't just cover it up. You might as well just say, this person gets on my nerves. Lord, I've been so hurt. I've been wounded. This hurt me. That hurt me. And just be real. God is not scared. He can handle. Someone said, God heals what we reveal. So it heals us. And I really believe that if we give him some of that time, it helps us be more aware of his continual presence throughout the day. All through the day, I'm aware of his presence. I'm singing a worship tune, or I'm aware, oh, look, Lord, that's it. And we just carry on that conversation throughout the day. I wake up, man, I'm thinking about the Lord. I go to bed at night, I'm thinking about the Lord. So it works that out. I want to, before I give you the second one, Kim and I have been making trips back and forth to Lynchburg. Brittany, you know, is in a house there, thank God, and we've been able to help out some. But recently, and I don't know if it was on a Saturday night. I think it was because I've made some weekend trips. And, you know, of course, having church the next morning, I had to get on back. I remember doing some work. And I asked Brittany before I left, I said, is there anything, you know, maybe I can do one more thing for you, some activity before I leave, and we can go ahead and knock that out and you won't have to wait for it. She said, I had this wicker basket I want to hang in my bedroom. So I said, that doesn't sound like a major project. So we get the basket, I get the screw, you know, it came with screws, and I went, wow. I did eat my Wheaties that morning. I don't know what's going on. I said, Brittany, we'll get me a little nail. I'll make a starter hole. I'll widen, you know, then we just screw it in. Some of you maybe have done that. So I got the nail, tap, the nail just went whoop, it just bent right over. I said, wow. I said, I think this isn't going to be as simple project as I thought. I was trying, man, we got a bigger nail. I was trying to get the screw going. And just finally out of frustration, I said, Brittany, this is not your typical stud and dry, you know, sheetrock wall. This is going to take a drill. I got to have maybe a masonry bit. I got to have something. We got to have the grommet for the screw to go in. And I said, I'm sorry, Britt. I was so frustrated. I'm sure she was too. And, you know, I guess in one sense, it could have been, I could have thought about it. Maybe we both could have and said, well, that was a waste of time and effort. But was it? Because if I had not tried, I would not have learned what needed to be done, and the shelf is hanging now. So it wasn't a waste of time, but I wonder how many times we pray and we're frustrated because it didn't turn out the way we were expecting. And we say, well, that was a waste of time and effort. It wasn't, but we can think it was. Do you see why the purpose is so important? Now, let me back up to that same time. She wouldn't say this. Most of you, you know her, and she wouldn't. But if she were to say, not, well, that was a waste of time, but being with you was a waste of time, how do you think I would feel? So how do you think perfect love feels when he wants us just to be close? And we think it's about our list for him to do, and we don't get it, and we think it's a waste of time. Brothers, sisters, growing closer, the time and effort to get closer to God is never wasted. If he never answered a prayer, and he does, but that is never wasted because we need him, and the closer we get to him, the more like him we grow. You see how important that is? Please don't feel like your prayer is wasted. Your time is not wasted. Your effort is not wasted. You're getting closer to your Father who loves you. And well, let me give you this second one. Matthew chapter 6, verse 10. Matthew 6, 10. This is actually the title of the message today. Jesus said, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So first, our purpose in praying is to grow closer to God. The second purpose in prayer, really this is the main theme, is for God's will to be done. For God's will to be done. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Jesus linked God's will to God's kingdom. Whenever you see the kingdom in Scripture, it means reign, R-E-I-G-N, like we sang today. His mercy reigns. He reigns as king. So think of kingdom, think of a king reigning. Literally, that's the word. Your reign come, your will be done. So your kingdom come, your will be done. God's purpose in prayer is that we get closer to him and that his will is accomplished on earth, even as it is in the heavenly realm. If you just hold your spot right there, I want to read you a verse in John chapter 3 and verse 5. This is Jesus speaking, all right? John 3, 5, Jesus is speaking, and he says these words. Jesus answered, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit," that speaks of a physical birth and a spiritual birth, "unless one is born of water and the Spirit," notice, "he cannot enter the kingdom of God." When we believe God's word and we receive Jesus as the Lord of our lives, God's kingdom just grew and God's will was just accomplished. So every time someone gets saved, God's kingdom grows and God's will is accomplished. So let me ask you this. Is salvation God's will? Is it God's will for everyone to be forgiven and know him as Savior and Lord? It is, all right? So I don't mean to be harsh, and I know sometimes people do it well-intending. I've heard it over the years. Sometimes people will say, "Lord, if it's your will to save this person," I understand. I'm not questioning their motive. But really, we don't even have to pray that way. We can pray for God to save them because the Word of God already tells us it's God's will for them to be saved. So let me ask you this morning. Outside of salvation, what else is God's will? We're praying for God's will to be done. So let me get your input. What else is God's will other than, so all right, this person's a Christian. Is that it? That's the only thing God wills for them. David? To get to know him better. To get to know Christ better. And so that is God's will, that we get to know him. All right? Anything else? What else is God's will that we can pray for? All right, Linda and Darlene? Okay, so using the gifts the Holy Spirit gives us in ministry and service to the body of Christ. All right, thank you, Darlene. Okay, Jesus said, "I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly." So it's God's will that we live abundantly. All right, thank you. Anyone else? What else is God's will? Is growth, spiritual growth, God's will? Anyone else? Freedom? Is it God's will for us to be free? Freedom. So you see, there are many aspects of God's will. And thank God, I'll show you, we can pray for our will, but God's will takes precedent, all right? Now, let me read these verses to you if you want to write them down. It's found in 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. 1 John 5, 14 and 15. Before I read it, I want to read you something that a pastor years ago said by the name of Larry Lee. I've got his quote right here. Would you just listen? He says, "Immature faith tries to manipulate God. True prayer is not a human effort at persuading God or forcing our will on him. True prayer is man, please hear this. True prayer is founded upon finding and coming into agreement with God's will. True prayer is finding and coming into agreement with God's will. I've learned this over the years. Many of you, I think, maybe all of you could testify, God's will is not always easy. Can I get an amen? But God's will is always best. It's not always easy, but it is, without a doubt, always best. And we can pray with confidence. You don't have to worry. I remember years ago, I thought, well, if I really give my life to Jesus, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. But if I let him have control, he's going to make me do something I don't really want to do. No. If he calls you to do something, he's going to place a desire in you too to do that. So we can pray with confidence. We can say, Lord, here is my will, but I trust your will because I know your love and I know your power. God is for us, not against us. Please think about that. He sacrificed his own son in judgment for our sins. He's not out to get us. We can trust him. He has the heart and he has the goods. He has the ability to do what he says. So we can pray with confidence. And the Bible says this in 1 John 5, verses 14 and 15. The scripture says, now this is the confidence that if we ask anything, and here is the key, according to his will, then what happens? He hears us. Verse 15, and if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. God's will is written in scripture. So the more familiar we are with the word of God, the more familiar we will be with the will of God. And we bring our prayers into alignment with his will. And of course, the Holy Spirit leads us. The Bible says, pray in the Spirit. He will lead us maybe to pray what is relevant for a particular need. If someone has a legitimate financial need, we can pray for that need to be met. It's God's will. So we pray a scripture that's relevant to that need. Maybe I'm troubled by something. It's keeping me up at night and God wants me to experience his peace. Then I can pray scripture that's related to the peace of God, guarding my heart and mind. I've been there. I've been awakened at 3 o'clock in the morning with my mind racing and my heart beating real fast. And I've had to, like the psalmist David said, quiet my soul down like a weaned child with his mother. And you know how I did it? For me, at that particular season of my life, I took the 23rd Psalm. And I read it and prayed it. And actually, I meditated on it during that time until I felt my blood pressure go down, my heart rate level out. I felt it in my body. That was the peace of God overpowering that spirit of fear or anxiety. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Would you say that with me? Your kingdom come, your will be done. And then in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 11, Jesus says this, give us this day our daily bread. So God wants us to bring our request to him every day. Honestly, most of us, we've been so blessed, we don't have to pray for something to eat every day. Most of us know where our next meal will come from. Thank God. But we have other needs. And God is our source of all needs, spirit, soul, and body. And maybe I need healing, he's my source. Maybe I need a job, he's my source. God can use a business, but he's my source. My father is my source. He's my provider. Whatever the need is, spirit, soul, or body. I like how that verse is also worded in the Passion Translation. It says it as this, we acknowledge you as our provider of all we need each day. And I believe there is a divine order here that Jesus gave us. We start with relationship, worship, hallowed be your name, your reign, your kingdom, your will, then my needs. You know what that means? That means I have legitimate needs, spirit, soul, and body, but I put God's will over my needs so that I never go outside of God's will to meet a need I think I have. Because God is able to meet my need and do it in his will. Need a relationship? I need a husband. Be careful what you ask for. No, don't. Maybe you do. But try to get a good one. No perfect husband, wives. But whatever the need is, look to the Lord. Don't go, well, I'm gonna go out, I just need some companionship. Okay, you do. God designed us that way, but don't go outside of God's will to meet the need. Don't cheat. Don't slip some money in your pocket that's not yours. Don't do anything along that line outside of God's will, because God is able to meet your need according to his riches and glory. Amen. Your kingdom come and your will be done. And let me close with this. I'll just ask you, what hinders us in making prayer a priority in our lives? I mean, a top priority. I would just say one is just being unaware. Maybe we don't really realize the privilege of prayer, and we don't realize how important our prayers are. Your prayers matter. You matter. What else could keep us from prioritizing a little time with God in prayer? Rick? Okay, just distractions. Again, maybe not even necessarily sinful distractions, but something just occupying our time and our mind so we don't prioritize prayer. Anything else? What's that?
Chasing after your kids.
Sometimes responsibilities, but responsibilities are God-given too. So we got to find the balance there.
The adversary.
Oh, yeah. Our adversary. Can't we all relate?
Amen.
We say, I'm going to give God, I'm going to pray. And everything in the world can come up. Every distraction, every hindrance, it's like an all-out assault. It's like he knows what potentially could happen. And he wants to keep it from happening so it doesn't short his kingdom. See, your kingdom come, your will be done. If God's kingdom is advancing, Satan's is shrinking. Rick? Okay, our attitude. So maybe we could be talking about unbelief. I just don't believe that it's important. How about this one? 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Could pride keep us from praying? Doesn't pride say, God, I don't need you. I'm good. I don't need you. I don't need to pray. Don't need to make it a priority, because right now I'm just running my life fine. But how many of you know sometimes life happens?
It does.
And we realize maybe I'm not running this whole thing so well after all. I'm not in control. And actually, I might need God. In those moments, we don't want God to be a stranger. We want him to be the Father that we always come to anyway. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. I'll close with this. We're to pray for one another. I'll pray for you, but no one can pray in place of you. You got to have your own walk with the Lord. Thank God you can. You got to have your own relationship, your own prayer life. I read a message by Pastor Carter Conlon of New York. He was a senior pastor at one time of Times Square Church, and it was about Hannah, and I think the title of it was When Prayer Has No Words, or something like that. But he got me thinking about that account. And I remember in the scripture, 1 Samuel chapters 1 and 2, the state of what we would call religion, if we liken it to the church, we'd say the state of the church was corrupt, because the priests were committing immorality with women who came to the tabernacle. And they were greedy. They took more than what they were supposed to take for their share. It was like idolatry and immorality within the church, if I could say it that way. And the priest Eli knew what was going on. He didn't try to stop his sons. And in that kind of a culture, in that situation, there was a woman who was barren. Her heart's desire was to have a son. And not only was she grieved that her prayers weren't being answered, she had a rival, the Bible says, and it says her rival provoked her severely, because she was having children and she was provoking Hannah, saying, look at what's wrong with you? God's closed your womb up and you can't have children. And she was in, the Bible says, bitterness of soul. She was in anguish. And so when she went to the tabernacle to pray, she was just mouthing words and she was just pouring out her heart to God. And the priest saw her and he thought she was drunk because she was moving her lips and just pouring out her heart, but no words were coming out. And he said, "Woman, put away your alcohol from you." Now, if you came in here and I accused you of being drunk and you were just being grieved in your heart and pouring your heart out to God, we would probably not see you again. And I can't say I would fault you. But the Bible says that she said, "Please don't think I'm a wicked woman. I'm just pouring out my heart in grief to the Lord." And you know what the priest said? He just said, "May the Lord grant you your request and find favor." And the Bible says Hannah means favor. She believed that, and she just took that word in and went home with it. She was on her way rejoicing. She was so happy when she left church. She just received that word. And the Bible said she had relations with her husband, and she had a son because she said, "If you give me a son, I'll give him back to you all the days of your life." And Shmuel, God hears, Samuel, she birthed Samuel, and she took him back and fulfilled her vow, took him back. He knew the Lord from an early age, and he had a reputation that he not only knew God, he heard from God, and God didn't allow his words to fall to the ground. This one woman who prayed out of the burden of her heart and said, "God, if you will grant this request, because I believe it's your will, I'm going to use it for your glory and your purpose." And God changed a nation by birthing one child from the prayer of one woman. Your kingdom come, your will be done, your prayers matter, and you seeking God matters. I hope that encouraged your heart today. So I just want to ask you, if you believe this world needs God's kingdom, I mean his reign and his will, then will you make prayer a priority in your life? And if you do, I'm with you. I want to join you and agree with you. Let's stand and we'll conclude in prayer.